reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of the Lord was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When God determined that he wanted to save us from ourselves, from the consequences of our sin, there were many ways that he could have done so. He could have come into the world as a teenager. Could have come into the world as a 95-year-old wise man. But he came into the world as a one-celled zygote, developed into a blastocyst, just like you and I did. To an embryo, a fetus, and a baby born in Bethlehem and placed in an ancient animal dish. Why? Because from the beginning, Satan had attacked the family, with the first family of Adam and Eve, getting them to sin and separating them from each other, separating them from God, from whom they tried to hide, separating them within, so that body and spirit would no longer be aligned in the love of God. The consequences of that separation in the family were disastrous. Cain kills Abel. The sons of Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac, fought. The sons of Isaac, Jacob and Esau fought. 10 of Jacob's sons tried to plot and kill their brother Joseph. David's family was a total mess. And it went on and on and on. When Jesus wanted to redeem the human race, there was a reason why he came as a little baby. Because he wanted to redeem the human race through the redemption in the family. And that's how we get to this celebration today. Jesus came to make families holy, beginning with his own. What does it mean for a family to be holy? When we look at the holy family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we see several indications. It's important for us to grasp it. We prayed, and if we meant it at the beginning of the Mass, then we should pay very close attention. We prayed at the beginning of Mass that we would imitate the virtues of the Holy Family. Pope Paul VI and John Paul II after him said that the Holy Family is a model for every family. What do they teach us? I think they teach us at least three things. First thing they teach us is that any family that desires to be holy will center its life on Jesus. That's precisely what happened in that home in Bethlehem, that mobile home, as it journeyed into Egypt to escape Herod's murderous clutches, the home in Nazareth where they came. And Jesus spent 92% of his salvific life, 33 out of his 36 years on earth, were spent in the home made by Mary and Joseph. There's great significance there. We too, if our family ever has a chance to be holy, needs to be centered not on the television, not on the paycheck each week, not on making sure that the roof is fixed or the boiler's working fine, though none of those things are bad. But if the family's going to be holy, then it needs to be fixed on Jesus. Second thing we learn in the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph is that they all sought to help each other to do God's will. Mary's first words were, "Let it be done to me according to your word." Joseph constantly followed the will of God, mediated through an angel, not to be afraid to take Mary's wife, to get up in the middle of the night and scamper to Egypt because Herod was trying to kill them, to come back as soon as Herod the Great was dead. Joseph was constantly trying to obey the will of the Lord. And Jesus obviously did as well. We see at the scene of the finding in the temple that St. Luke tells us afterward that Jesus went home with them to Nazareth, where he was obedient to them and grew in wisdom and understanding. Now, there's an aspect of the episode of the finding in the temple that few people ever focus on. Most people figure, okay, Jesus was absent for 3 days and Joseph and Mary were running around scampering like any parent who had ever lost a child would, not being able to sleep a wink for all the time when Jesus was lost. But Jesus somehow at 12 years old was able to take care of himself. We see him only at the end of the scene when he was discovered, dazzling all the adults there in the temple who were the scholars of the law with his question. Right then, at that point in his life, Jesus had it made. He could have been a famous figure, a precocious preacher, 12 years old. Greater scholar than all the scholars in the temple. He'd obviously demonstrated capacity to care for himself. He wasn't sleeping under an ancient Jerusalem bridge, going without food, trying to eat scraps. Somehow he had managed. He had already demonstrated that to a large degree at 12 he was self-sufficient. And yet what? For the next 21 years of his life, he went home and was obedient to two of his creatures and grew in wisdom and understanding. And Jesus continued to be obedient to the Father all the way till death, death on the cross. Not only were they faithful to the will of God, but they encouraged each other to be faithful to the will of God and helped each other to fulfill their own vocations. Likewise, any family that desires to be holy needs to seek the will of God and facilitate their loved ones seeking it and doing it. A family can't be holy otherwise. Third, within that home, they really loved each other. And they prayed. Part of their love for each other was praying for and with each other. Father Patrick Peyton made famous the saying, the family that prays together stays together. And the corollary, I think, is also true. The family that doesn't pray together doesn't. They may continue to cohabitate under the same roof, but they're never going to expect to find that unity, that real deep love, without the bond of perfection, who is God, who unites them. We learn that in the Holy Family. They were constantly going up to the temple to pray, as we found out when Jesus was 12. They were praying so well that Jesus, by the age of 12, basically dazzled with his interpretation of sacred scripture. And some of the times we can just think, well, no, he was God. He would have known all of that stuff. Not according to his humanity. According to his humanity, he had to learn math and he had to learn how to read Hebrew. And he did. Early. Because that was the way he was taught Hebrew, like most Jews, by parents sitting down with him with sacred scripture and reading and reciting and memorizing. Likewise, if our families are going to be holy, we need to really love each other, recognizing the greatest gift that we can give to each other in love is God. And the greatest gift we can give to the Lord after ourselves totally is the gift of our loved ones. The greatest means by which the family can grow in holiness is not just by centering itself on Jesus, but coming to receive Jesus and receive his love and receive his will within us so that we would be able to do it. Here at Mass, we come to center ourselves on Jesus. We come to complete his will precisely, not just doing anything we want to please God on our own, to be creative. We come here to do this in memory of him, just as he commanded. And this is the way we receive his love incarnate inside of us and are made capable of sharing that greatest love of all with each other. For a family to become holy, here's the place. What a shame there are so few here to celebrate it. This holy family that we talk about is not just supposed to be the domestic church, not just to be our own individual homes, but it's supposed to be the church as a whole. Jesus came down from heaven to earth to found a family, precisely a holy family. And that family, he said, his mother, his brothers, and his sisters, are those who hear the word of God and do it. He wants us to be truly one and imitate those very virtues. But we need to help that family grow. Together, as we celebrate this great feast, let us ask the Lord for that gift so that we, in creating greater familial bonds, might help to bring all of Jesus' other family members to the same source of holiness.